Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Listen to me now. Do you ever find yourself scrolling through your phone after forgetting what you're looking for in the first place? A recent UK survey found that about half of adults think their attention spans are getting shorter, and plenty of teachers say the same thing is happening with kids. Is it really happening? And if so, what can we do about it? Well, neuroscientist Dr. Brian Penny is back with me now to talk about distraction. How are you, Brian?
Hey, Jen.
Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about distraction. We were actually just talking about it off air. Why do you think we're so distracted?
This is basically, it's based on a fundamental psychological process. We've all heard about it. It's the carrot and the stick, reward and punishment. So we want to approach the carrot, the reward, and we want to escape the stick, which is the punishment. And how this works in terms of escape, it's a bit all about discomfort. So we are distracted through discomfort and we want to escape that discomfort. So it could be like mental friction of kids doing homework. It could be boredom. It could be anxiety. And all of a sudden, when we're experiencing that discomfort, we want to escape it. So we look for a distraction. So that's an element of it. That's the escape element of distraction. But then there's the approach element, the carrot that we're looking for. And modern life has provided us with so many carrots. Phones, computers, TV, delicious food. So have you ever like experienced you want to focus on something, you don't want to be distracted, you need to hold your attention on a task, I'll get something to eat, I'll jump on my phone, I'll do this. So it's like this double-edged sword. It's what we want to avoid, the discomfort, and we want to approach it with the reward of all of these shiny distractions on the outside. And the big problem here is that we are working against millions of years of evolution.
Yeah.
Our brains do not want us to be happy. This is the reality. Our brains want to survive and avoid pain, avoid discomfort. So we have this sort of another double-edged sword where we evolve to avoid the discomfort, to look for these distractions to avoid that. And because of the way our brains have evolved to rewards, we love to get rewards because that sort of helped the species to survive over time.
Mm-hmm.
But now with this evolutionary mismatch, we're living in a world where all of these shiny new gadgets, all of these distractions that we jump on these and they become addictive, and we're literally getting like our reward centers are being hijacked by these distractions and we're literally getting addicted to distractions. So it's
hijacked is quite a frightening word, but you're
yeah.
so right. And it's not just we're not just talking about games and social media. We're talking about it earlier on in Jen's Newsy Bits. Dating apps are like
yeah.
highly addictive. I mean, I wouldn't know myself, Brian, but do you know what I mean? I heard they're highly addictive. But it's just this thing that we all struggle with, isn't
yeah.
it? Is it becoming worse of a problem?
I think it's getting worse because like we have the best scientists in technology. In the, like the best tech scientists, computer scientists
yeah.
creating these algorithms to hook us in. I've never used TikTok. I've heard you should never go near TikTok if you never had because it just hijacks those reward centers of the brain. And it's definitely getting worse because food, I think the best food scientists getting tastier. Like that's my distraction. I'm always looking for food. My brain's always seeking nice food. So whether it's food, whether it's devices, whether it's Netflix, whatever it is, it's getting worse because I think there's more distractions, there's better distractions, and I think we're getting worse at dealing with discomfort.
It's a wonder how any kid can sit through a Leaving Cert, isn't it, at this stage of the game, and we'll get on to that. But
yeah.
so many kids are getting diagnosed with ADHD, and adults as well. I've seen a huge surge in it recently, an ADD, attention deficit disorder. Why is that the case?
So firstly, this is a consequence of our environment.
That do you think
is,
so?
Massively so, massively so. Like imagine, let's say 200 years ago, a kid is not getting overly stimulated, or an adult for that matter, getting overly stimulated by emails, by phones, by all of the messages and distractions that are in the world. That mental stimulation has an impact on our brains. So that's a huge element of it. It's a consequence of our environments. But then today, there's a lack of exercise. We're not sleeping as much because we're on our devices. Like, exercise, movement is what we need. Like, if you're feeling hyperactive, you need to get out and you need to run. You need to move your body. I heard something recently that really resonated with me, that exercise isn't an antidepressant. The lack of exercise, lack of movement is a depressant. We are born to move.
Yeah.
And we're putting kids into classrooms to sit there for 8 hours a day telling them to focus on a task at hand, or people in office workspaces as well could be working 60 hours a week, focus on the task at hand. We're not built for that. We're really not built for that. We need to move. And between information overload, phones, lack of exercise, sleep, devices, all of these things, it is going to create this kind of challenge within our brains, within our bodies, that manifests itself as ADHD.
Okay.
Now, the challenge I have with ADHD is as well, it's simply a label, like anxiety, like depression. Like, they're not real in the sense that they don't live anywhere in your body. You can't touch ADHD. Like, if you were a surgeon, you can't touch ADHD in the body or the brain. It doesn't actually exist anywhere. There's a cluster of symptoms like hyperactivity and like inattention that align to that as well. But it's not actually real, and as in reality. But we often call it, and especially the pharmaceutical industry would call that like a chemical imbalance in the brain. They often say that with depression. But it's not a chemical imbalance in the brain per se. It's like, if you have engaged in a very challenging environment or challenging behaviors for a long time, you won't be balanced as a person, I wouldn't imagine. So that is where the imbalance is. And something that I found really interesting that I heard lately, like if you were to take Adderall or Ritalin or something like that, which basically increases the amount of dopamine, serotonin and norepinephrine within the brain, they are very good drugs for sort of tackling certain symptoms of ADHD, but it's not getting at the root cause. It's like taking aspirin might remove a headache, but it wasn't the lack of aspirin that caused the headache. So it's not getting at the root cause, which is the environment. And things like ice baths and stuff like that, they do the exact same thing as Ritalin and Adderall. It increases dopamine, increases norepinephrine. So when it comes to ADHD, I think we're medicating a problem that needs to be targeted at a root level in terms of our environment, devices, lack of exercise, and all of those good stuff that we know we need to be doing.
Can we go back to distraction on a day-to-day basis and what we can do about it? Like, what are some practical tips to help us from getting distracted?
Yeah, so one thing I'd like to say about distraction first that I think is really, really important. And when I learned this, it had a big impact on me. So we often think of what is the opposite of distraction. And you might think focus and attention. But the opposite of distraction is traction. They actually both come from the Latin word traher, which means to pull. So traction is taking actions that pull you in the right direction, whereas distraction is the opposite of that. It's pulling you in the wrong direction. So it's important sort of to know what that is. We need to sort of focus on traction and sort of eliminate distraction. So that's really, really important.
Okay.
And when it comes to practical tips, there's some very simple practical tips for this. And I often think of them in terms of internal and external distractions. So internal distractions are things like worrying about the future. You're worried that you mightn't have money to pay the bills. You're worried that your kids might be having trouble in school. Maybe they have ADHD symptomology and you're worrying about that. So you're at work and you're constantly distracted. And something that I found very, very useful was a super simple tool is to have a distraction list. So if you get distracted by something, you say, I'll think about that later. Well, then your brain is going to be distracted trying to remember the thing that you have to think about later. And that can all build up because you don't want to miss some important task. So something as simple as a distraction list where you just write it down on a list and review it later, it sort of declutters your brain and helps you to focus. So that's something that's really, really powerful, very simple.
Are you always writing lists?
I'm a list person, of a list person, yeah. It's like, I remember it was Arianna Huffington, I remember, says, like, journaling is window wipers for the soul.
Yeah.
And journaling is simply getting it on a page, out of your head and onto a page, so you can sort of clear the mind to put it somewhere else. So I think that's the power of lists, can be really powerful in that as well. But it's I find it's the external distractions, which are a huge problem in today's world. And we've touched on it so many times. Phones, devices, other people, apps, all of these things are massive distractions. Food, if you sit in your room and it's cluttered and you have so many devices, so many opportunities to escape discomfort and have fun doing it, that carrot and stick again, you're going to seek them out. So we need to create an environment that serves what you want to do, serves what you need, traction to pull you in the right direction. So create an environment in your home, in the workspace, that's going to help you to do that. Now, the phones is something that we've jumped on many, many times in this conversation, and something that I have found incredibly beneficial. I used to chat with you, Jen, about, I remember I mentioned before, it was an app called Freedom, where you can just lock yourself out of your phone. And what I've felt was, that sort of gave me freedom, but I always found myself sort of managing to find my way back onto the phone. And it was the same if I put my phone away for the time. I always, whether it's days, weeks, hours, minutes sometimes, the phone is back in your hand. And what I found myself was, it was a sniff of boredom and I'd look to distract myself from that boredom with my phone. And it was proving a big issue for me. And I found I wasn't focusing as much as I could in the past either. I used to have great focus, especially in the early days of my academic career. I'd great focus when I didn't really mess around with phones. But I'm in the world of Instagram, LinkedIn today, and phones have just become a part of the business model that I have. And I've recently found this incredible technology. It's called Unpluck with a Q. So it's like unplug, but it's Unpluck with a Q. And what this is, it makes the digital physical again. So it's a little tile that you get. And basically, you can have this on your key ring, but it's also an app as well, ironically, on your phone. But what you can do is you can create schedules on your phone. So I have a schedule for myself from 5:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock. So when I wake up in the morning, I am locked out of my phone. I can't access my phone. Now, the goal in this is that I still need to make phone calls, or if somebody wants to call me for an emergency, I want to be able to receive phone calls. And that's why I always sort of brought my phone with me. But what you can do with this app is you can just block out certain apps. So I block out WhatsApp, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever I need to block out. I can still take phone calls. I can still do things that I need to do with my phone. And if I do need access, what I do with that little tile is I just scan it in on the back of my phone. Now, you might think that, sure, what's the point? You could just put your phone in your bag. But there's some kind of magic happens. This is the only technology I've found, that when you have that little tile and you have that physical thing in your hand, it brings this level of awareness. Ah, I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Awareness of what you're actually doing.
Awareness of what you're doing. And it's really, really, really powerful. It's really, if anyone's really struggling with it, I'd highly recommend them to give it a look.
Something that struck me that you said about TikTok, you said don't go on TikTok. It's just one of those apps that will just, I see it with people, they just get so obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Why is that more so than other apps?
So I've heard about an addiction researcher, someone that really was highly focused individual and was doing research on the addictive nature of TikTok. And they just jumped on TikTok to explore it, to see what it was like, to see what it's about. And they said they were addicted in like minutes. They were just like, they just wanted more. So I've never done it. I'm afraid to go there, you know. I don't know if I believe in addictive personalities, but if it's such a thing, I definitely have one.
And just going back to willpower as well. Do some people just inherently have better willpower that they can just put their phone away and not look at their phone, as opposed to other people? Or is that something that we can work on? Like, can we work on our willpower?
We can work on willpower. I don't necessarily believe in willpower per se. It's more the environment creates that. It's like your willpower, your motivation, your drive. But it's like the environment that you can create can have a big element of that. Like, if you have the willpower not to eat junk food in your fridge, well, if you have no food in your fridge, you're just not going to be able to do it. So it's like willpower.
To create the environment.
Create the environment. Willpower plays a role, but it's very hard to manipulate your willpower or change your willpower. So changing the environment is much easier. So don't get TikTok on your phone and you won't get addicted to
YouTube. YouTube for kids is not for me, or all these kind of stuff. Create the environment. Okay.
Definitely.
Brian, thanks for coming in. And listen, don't worry if you get distracted during that chat. We'll podcast it after the show and you can have a listen. Brian Penny, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Jem Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.